Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us for this Friday study edition of Basic Gospel. Today, as usual on these Friday sessions, we continue in our study series, this one through the book of 1 John. We're excited to bring it to you, and we hope you're able to join us each Friday. But to get us underway today, let's turn immediately to Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're in 1 John chapter 4 today, and the section that we're going to be working through on today's broadcast is a section about truth and error. Now, we're going to get a little bit into the love of God and how God demonstrated that love for us. But before we get there, we're going to look at truth and error. How do we discern between truth and error? And I think in this world today, within the Christian church, within Christianity, there is a real lack of discernment. We are gullible people. And if somebody is slick, if somebody is polished, if somebody is persuasive in their communication skills, then we will latch on hook, line, and sinker. Mm-hmm. That's just the way of the world today. We're very, very gullible. Now, the Word of God does not condone gullibility. It tells us to test the spirits. Yeah. That's why you will hear us say time and time again, do not believe a word that we say until you go into the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God to either confirm or to say, hey, run away from it. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the truth teacher. The Word of God is the standard. And if we don't align with it, then we're not worth salt. We're not worth two dead flies, as I would say.
Frequently.
So we need to get away from this gullibility and to get back to discernment. I was thinking the other day with the way people just latch on to things. They have the discernment of a rock. And yeah. We need to have more discernment than that. And here, this particular passage shows us how to be discerning as far as messages are concerned that are going to come our way. So let's dive in. We're going to start in 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Do not believe every message. Just because it sounds good, just because it's presented well, it doesn't mean you should believe it.
Correct.
But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. We need to test every single message, every single spirit, to see if that spirit is from God. Now, here's the reason. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. I mean, one of the things that we see very clearly in the New Testament, regardless of the writer, regardless of what gospel we're reading, what letter we're reading, what particular book that we're in, we're going to see warnings throughout about false prophets.
Right.
Matthew gives some warnings about false prophets in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about false prophets. And they're going to bring a false message. That's what makes them false prophets. So John is saying, just as all the apostles have, there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. Now, some of those false prophets had infiltrated the church at Ephesus.
Yes.
And that's why John wrote this letter. And those false prophets were causing unbelievable confusion. Now, one thing we know about confusion is not of God.
Right.
God brings clarity to the mind. He brings a pure, simple, profound message, one that is easily understood. Anyone that churns the waters of confusion, they are not doing it by being led by the Spirit. They are having another spirit guide them with that particular message. So there's false prophets that have gone out there in the world. And here's the test. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. So how do we test the spirits? How do we become discerning individuals. How can we tell if something is true or if something is false? Well, Jesus Christ is the litmus test.
Yes.
What a person says about Jesus Christ determines whether what they are saying is true or what they are saying is false. Now, the Spirit of Truth is going to say that Jesus is indeed is the Christ, that he has come in the flesh. So this Jesus that the Bible talks about, the Word that was with God in the beginning, that was God, that became flesh and dwelt among us, this Jesus is truth. And it's in this Jesus that we have life. Now, if somebody denies that Jesus Christ came in the flesh or denies that Jesus is the Christ, they're speaking a false message. That is error. So truth is that Jesus is God. He is fully God. He is fully human. And that he has come to do something for us through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension that we could not do for ourselves. Any other message about Jesus other than that one is a false message. Now, there are a lot of cults out there. There's one that is famous for coming and knocking at your door.
Yes.
And what do they say about Jesus? Do they say that he is God in human flesh? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, they have rewritten the Word of God to align with their doctrine, with their beliefs.
Yeah.
So when it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, they've rewritten that to say, and the Word was a little g God.
Right.
Not the God, not the one who is equal with the Father, but a God, little g.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the Jehovah Witnesses.
Right.
So are they bringing a message of truth or a message of error? Well, they're bringing a message of error. Why? Because they are denying that Jesus is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, then that is the spirit of Antichrist.
Right.
You're operating under the spirit of Antichrist. So it's that clear. Jesus is the litmus test. What anybody says about Jesus will determine whether they are speaking truth or whether they are speaking error.
Absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're here for this study through 1 John. If you're looking for resources that can make a huge difference in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, look no further than the Basic Gospel online store. You can find resources that clarify your standing in the new covenant under the Resources tab at basicgospel.net. And to help us continue to be on the air and online with the good news of Jesus Christ, we need your help. So when you visit basicgospel.net, be sure to click that donate button and help Basic Gospel keep this good news coming. We'll be thankful for your partnership. Now back to our study in 1 John.
Well, thanks, Bob. So what is the spirit of truth? Well, it is the message concerning Jesus, that he indeed came in the flesh, that he is fully God, fully man, and that in him is life everlasting. What is the spirit of error? Anything that denies the truth about Jesus. That is the spirit of error. That's what false prophets bring in the world, and there's a lot of them out there today, aren't they?
There sure are. And the thing that is so powerful about this particular passage is that John is not talking about the lost people out there, those people, whoever they are. He's saying, look in your own church, look in your own small group. People are going to be there who believe in the one true God and the real Jesus Christ. Listen to them.
Yes.
There's going to be others who do not. They need to be corrected or rejected. But something has to change. This is a warning for within the church, within the body of Christ.
Now, why would a false prophet try to infiltrate a church group? Why wouldn't they just go out there into the world where their message would be more accepted? Well, the reason they want to infiltrate the church group is because there's a group of people that have an interest in spiritual things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they can persuade those people and tap into their gullibility, then they can draw them away and they can start fleecing them for money. That's what it gets down to. Let's just be real clear about that. They want in your pocket. They want to get your wallet out of your pocket, out of your purse, so that you will write a check to them and feed their fleshly desires. Mm-hmm. That's why they are preying on people within churches. They already have an affinity for spiritual things. And so if they can walk in and give a polished message and persuade, then that's what they're going to do.
Yep.
Some of the largest churches in the world are filled with false messages, and people are going to them because they're being promised false blessings.
Yes.
And it's just like going into a casino. Why do people get addicted? Because they feel like on this next pull of the lever, it's going to be their ship is going to come in, mm-hmm. and they're going to be rich beyond measure. And people buy into that hook, line, and sinker. Well, we have to realize we have something better than that in Jesus,
yes.
and that is life everlasting. In Christ is life, life eternal, an opportunity and a reality of knowing God, the one who created us, knowing what he's like, experiencing his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. Boy, that lifts the heart and soul beyond anything this world could ever offer. So we need to be discerning, not gullible, but discerning in the messages concerning the messages that we hear. Now, here's some great assurance to us. He says this in verse 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. So you've overcome these false messages. You've
yes.
realized that they're false. Why? Because you are from God. Now, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, if we're going to be discerning, if we're going to be able to determine truth from error, we've got to depend upon the Spirit of truth that is in us. John calls this Holy Spirit who has come to live inside of us the Spirit of truth. And he is going to bring truth into these minds of ours. And when we allow that truth to be the judge, to be the standard, then we're going to have some discernment. So we have the Spirit of God living in us, and he is greater than he who is in the world. Now, they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. He's talking about these false prophets.
Yeah.
They're going to pretend to be from God. They're going to pretend to bring a message from the heavens. But don't listen. Why? Because they're not from there. They're worldly, and they bring a message from the world. And you know how we know that? Because the world listens to them. Now, we, true children of God, on the other hand, we're from God, and whoever knows God listens to the apostolic message.
Right.
We listen and we hear and we believe the apostolic message. Now, what is that apostolic message? Well, it's exactly what John said at the very beginning of this book. What we have seen, what we have heard, what we have beheld concerning the word of life, this is what we proclaim to you. So what is their message? It is Jesus Christ, the word that has become flesh and has dwelt among us. The word that became flesh, that offered his body as a sacrifice to take away sins once and for all. The word that became flesh, that died, was buried, and was raised on that third day, and then ascended into the heavens and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That is the apostolic message. That is the message of the Bible from start to finish. It is God's testimony concerning his son. And this book, 1 John, is just lifting that up and saying, hey, if you haven't guessed by now in reading the word of God, this is what it's about. It's about Jesus from start to finish. So anyone who has been born of God listens, understands, and believes and abides in the apostolic message. That is the Spirit of truth. So whoever knows God listens to us. Now, I think that's an amazing thing. Whoever knows God. False prophets don't know God. Those who listen to false prophets don't know God. But those of us who have been born of God, who have God's seed in us, we know God. We know what God is about. And therefore, we listen to this apostolic message. And by this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Yeah.
So the fact that we've been born again, the fact that we know God, the fact that we have God's spirit living in us, are the very tools that equip us to be discerning in this world of confusion in which we live in today.
That's preaching material right there.
Oh, I'm preaching it today.
And this is Basic Gospel, friends. We're glad that you're with us for the study through the book of 1 John. What an insightful study it is with Bob and Richard. And friends, if you miss any of these sessions or if you'd like a review, you can listen again by visiting basicgospel.net/teaching. The entire archive is there for you, and we hope you'll share it with others who want to know and learn and grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the archive is open freely to everyone at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's just keep going. We're going to move down to verses 7 through 12, and I just absolutely love this passage of Scripture. It's in my top five. Of all passages in the Bible, this would be in my top five. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. So once we know truth, once we know the truth about Jesus, once we've been born again and we've been indwelt by the Spirit of God, then we can live out what God has designed us to live out, and that is the love of God. So, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Now, the error, the spirit of error, does not bear the fruit of love.
No.
It bears the fruit of hate. It bears the fruit of death. That's the spirit of error. The spirit of truth bears the fruit of love. So let us love one another, for love is from God. So what is the message? That God is love. That's the message. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So if we love, it means that we've been born of God and that we know God. So it's not that we have to know God and love others in order to be born again. No, he's saying if you've been born again, then you know God, and then you're going to love others. The fact that you love others is proof that you've been born again and that you know God. Now, anyone who does not love does not know God. So if somebody's out there saying they're a part of the fellowship yet hate their brother, what does that tell you about them? It tells you that they don't know God, that they don't know what he's like. They don't know his character. And here's the reason, because God is love. So if anyone is out there not loving, you know they don't know God, because God is love. That's who he is. That's his essence. That's his character. And he's demonstrated that for us. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. So what's the love of God about? Well, we're going to find out that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Why did God send his Son into the world? So that you and I might live through him. In Christ is life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So he sent the Son in the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So how did God demonstrate his love for us? By sending Jesus so that we might live through him and so that he would be a propitiation for our sins, mm-hmm. so that our sins could be taken away, nailed to the cross, forgiven, and remembered no more. That's why God sent his Son into the world, and that is a demonstration of God's love for you and me. So how are we going to love others? We're going to love them by pointing them to Christ so that they too can live through him. We're going to point them to the work of Christ so that they too can experience forgiveness of their sins. That's how we're going to love people in this world. Now, there's a lot of other ways to love people, but
it has to start there.
So he goes on, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We talked about this as far as giving is concerned. God so loved that he gave. If the characteristic of God is that he's a giver, if he's come to live inside of us, guess what we're going to become? Givers. Givers of our time, givers of our talents, givers of our skills, givers of our resources. That's just a byproduct of knowing God. Yeah. So if you're giving and that grace of God is motivating you to give, it's because you know God. It's because you know what he's about. Now, if we're loving others, not only in word but in deed, it's because we know God. His character is rubbing off on us. This lover of our souls now lives in us. And what are we becoming? Lovers of other people. Mm-hmm. Now, no one has ever seen God. No one. No one on the planet. No one in human history has ever laid eyes on God. Why? God is spirit. He is unseeable. But what we can see of God has been poured into the person of Christ Jesus. So we see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. But this demonstration of love makes him visible in this world today. We don't see him personally. We don't see him face to face. But we see what he's like as his love is manifested through us. So if we love one another, God abides in us. So the fact that we're loving one another is proof positive that God abides in us. And this love is going to be perfected in us. It's going to be brought to completion in us. So God pours his love into his hearts, into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. But he didn't pour that love into our hearts to sit there, to simply become a reservoir, a keeper of that love. He poured it into our heart so that it would become a river flowing in and through us into the lives of others. And that's when that love is perfected or made complete or brought to its desired end, that we become a vessel of God's love. A powerful, powerful illustration, isn't it?
It sure is. The message we hear so often is that if you truly loved yourself, you could love others. This belies that message. It's only as we know who God is and that he loved us that we're able to love each other. Yeah. This is exactly paraphrasing Jesus' own new command.
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. So we have these false prophets that are out there. They're going to teach you a different message concerning Jesus. Be discerning. Listen carefully. Listen attentively. Check out what they say in the Word of God. If they're not saying the same thing the Word of God says about Jesus, turn and run. Why? Because the fruit of that message is going to be hate and death. There's only one message that bears the fruit of life and love, and that is the message concerning Jesus and Jesus alone.
Wow, guys, another greatly insightful study. And friends, thank you for being here today. Glad you are. And we'll be back with another edition of 1 John and 1 John next week. But if you've missed any of these sessions, you can review them at basicgospel.net/teaching. Now, again, that's basicgospel.net/teaching. Share them with others when you can. We'll continue the series, as I said, next week at the same time, and I hope you'll be with us. In the meantime, if you have a question about anything that you've heard, call our 24-hour listener line. 844-322-2742 is the number, and you can leave a voicemail there with your question. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or just drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. And as we close today, please remember this ministry is listener-supported, and we need to ask your help to keep the good news of the love, grace, and life of Jesus Christ our Lord on the air and online. Please visit basicgospel.net and see all the ways you can make your gift and become a partner with us. Again, that's basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and all this great ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.